Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hi, everyone. I'm back in the studio with Yasmin Cheyenne. She is lovely and amazing and a dear friend of mine. Y'all really enjoyed her episode on doing the work. If you haven't listened to that yet, I would suggest you do that first before coming here. But our conversation is really just amazing and filled with gems. So I would also suggest that you pull out your notebook and a pen and join us as we take a deep dive into Doing the Work, Part 2. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
We are back in the studio with Yasmin. Thank you for being here. A lot of folks really loved her episode with me on Doing the Work. So if you have not listened to that, circle back because we're kind of going to be piggybacking off of that during our chat today. So for those of you who may not be familiar with Yasmin, I will let her introduce herself. So who are you and what do you do?
So I am a spiritual teacher, a writer, and an advocate for mental health. And essentially, I use my creative outlet writing to talk about the tough stuff that we're doing as we navigate our lives, boundaries, codependency, breakups, making up, all that stuff. And a huge part of it is also I teach energy work.
Mm. So I laughed at the breakup makeup because you and I are married, mm-hmm. but I think there's been a lot of shifting in like friend groups and family relationships. So mm-hmm. I kind of want to start there. A lot of people look at boundaries as something that we set for other people, right? Mm-hmm. What has your audience and your clients and your students, what have they been asking you recently about boundaries and how they can move through their relationships with honoring their self boundaries versus just setting the boundaries for an outsider?
So I'll be honest, and if you are a student of mine, you hear this, sorry, but nobody's ever like, how can I do this? They're like, how can I make this person finally show up? How can I, you know, stop expecting them to do this thing when they never measure up? It's always in the context of the blame of what that person is doing to us. And sometimes, legitimately, people are doing things to us. So, you know, honoring the fact that someone's showing up with you in a way that is not in alignment with you, that's hurtful, that's, you know, neglectful or even abusive is important. Mm-hmm. But usually we get to a certain point in the story or in the relationship where we have to come to ourselves and say, how am I participating in this? How am I allowing this? How am I continuing to show up with them? What am I getting from staying in this cycle with them? Because a lot of times we don't even realize that person showing up in the way that they do helps to solidify whatever story it is that we have about ourselves or what they mean to us.
So give an example about that. So let's use a family member, for example, because you and I have been talking a lot about how we navigate our families, right? So there was this one woman who reached out to me asking specifically, how to move through the relationship with her mom. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I get the whole boundaries thing. I get, you know, boundaries, barriers. I understand that people treat us how we allow, et cetera, et cetera. But she's my mom. And mm-hmm. so how do I not become estranged from her, mm-hmm. but meet her where she is without getting, you like to say,
hooked.
Since I get hooked a lot. But no, like, how would you say that to someone who's saying, hey, I have this going on with someone who is very dear to me mm-hmm. in some sense, even if that relationship may be a little unhealthy?
Right. So the first thing I think I would mention is sometimes boundaries are extremely firm, meaning sometimes they mean that we are no longer in relationship, mm-hmm. Which is still different than a barrier, because boundaries mean I have access to my work. Barriers mean I'm cutting this off. It doesn't exist, mm-hmm. which means you can't access your work because you think it's over. That's usually how our minds work. Like, right. I'm done with them.
Right.
So then we're done with all of the emotion. Well, we think we're done with all the emotion.
Right.
So I wanted to mention that. But when it comes to dealing with someone, especially someone as close as a parent, even a sibling, grandmother, anything like that, husband, it's very difficult to figure out how to set those boundaries without getting hooked. I will say, the gateway, so to speak, for being able to navigate that relationship without getting hooked is being honest with yourself about mm-hmm. what is it, who they are. Because if we are honest, and I know, you know, speaking for myself, we're meeting that person in their relationship with the expectation of what we wish they were. Mm-hmm. So we show up and we're like, you know, you're my mom, you're my dad, you should be this. Right. Why are you not this? They've never been this thing. And so when we have that spaciousness of being honest, that is usually when the grief hits. Mm. Because once you're honest about who they are, then the sadness is allowed to come. Because the anger is what you're usually coming with.
Right.
Like, you are a mess. And every time I see you, it's a mess.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Oh, it's because this is who you've always been. Grief. Mm. Then you begin to process, okay, I'm hurt. Because right. you may never be what I need.
Or want,
or, you know, the dream that I had of what our relationship could be mm. was just a dream. It never was that. Mm. And so now you're at a space of, okay, now that I'm seeing you for who you are, I'm not expecting anything other right. than who you are. That's where the hooks stop for me, because mm-hmm. and for a lot of people that I work with, because once you're meeting them where they are, you're like, I know she's going to be 2 hours late because she's never cared about my time. Mm. I know she's going to have something to say about my outfit because she always, you know, like,
right.
This is who she is. So, and it still hurts. Mm-hmm. I still have to do the work around this. I still have to process the fact that we spent 20 minutes together and this was what it was during the 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, I think even though we may not get hooked into the cycle, which would most likely look like, why do you always have to say something? You know, the back and forth. Even though we're not hooked in the cycle, the pain may still remain, and that's the part we don't want to.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So you were just saying the hook is engaging with the person in a way that may be confrontational, right?
Yes.
I'm just going to use me, for example, yes. because if somebody says something to me, especially if they're close to me, I have no problem saying, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Why are you saying it that way? Why did you say it that way? What is that about? Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about that multiple times. And you're like, okay, so what could you have done differently to not get hooked into that situation? Mm-hmm. So I think the question I have is, how do we navigate that and also feel like we're speaking up for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. I think the important piece is the internal conversation mm-hmm. that we need to be having with ourselves about this person, like, maybe on a day-to-day basis. Maybe not a day-to-day, but, like, during your journaling practice, when you're doing your work, when you're in therapy, when you're in coaching, when mm-hmm. you're talking with friends. Because if you're having those internal conversations, those tough conversations, you're like, I know this person doesn't even have the capacity to have this argument. Mm-hmm. Like, if I stood up for myself in a truly vulnerable way and said, you know, what you're doing is hurting me, are they going to hear me?
Right.
Or are they going to be like, yes, hooked?
And then
And it may not, and to be clear, the yes hooked part is not often conscious.
Right.
Like they're unconscious to the fact that this is how they feel connected. This is how they feel loved. This is how it's a really, you know, unfortunate space, you know, to witness someone you love in that unawareness of the fact that what they're doing is actually hurting the people that they love as opposed to causing us to be closer.
Right.
But definitely, you know, going to that place of, okay, you know, they said something that's going to take me to that space, but check, like that self-check of, they don't have the capacity for this. Will I just be draining my energy if I engage? Absolutely. Is it worth it? No, it's not. They don't have the capacity to hear me. Mm. We're going to have an argument. I'm going to be, in theory, sticking up for myself, but really, that sticking up, that confrontation, what is it going to do to the rest of my week? How am I going to show up with my family? Am I going to have space for my kids, or am I going to be in bed? Am I, like, all of the ripple effects of what happens when we aren't truly sticking up for ourselves. We're like, see me.
And hear me.
Hear
and
me.
Like, I want to force you to do that. So the next question I have for you is, how can that connect to self boundaries? That's where we kind of started the conversation. Mm-hmm. Having that internal, it sounds like what you're saying to me is having that internal conversation is the self check, is the self boundary. Like, is this worth it?
Yes. And looking at the relationship from a space of, okay, this is what I have these standards that I expect from the people I'm in relationship with. Mm. Some standards should just be across the board. Respect, you know, integrity, honest, you know, whatever it is for you. But then am I meeting myself in that same space? I was actually talking to a client recently and she was like, you know, they never show up with me on time. You know, when they do show up, it's like, I only have 15 minutes. So I'm like, you know, and I said, I hear you in that. And you need to have that internal conversation of, why am I holding space for this person who never reciprocates that space? But in addition to that, do I hold space for myself, or am I only dishing out the space? What I mean by that is, a lot of people are like, I love to help people, I love to show up for people, and never give that same kind of help or attention to themselves. So even if you have a journal practice, or if you go to therapy, or whatever it is that you spend that time to, you know, fill up your jar, so to speak, what are you doing to give back to yourself that doesn't include anyone else, that has nothing to do with anyone else? And that's the biggest self-boundary to me, because the way we want people to show up, are we showing up with ourselves in that same way? Most of the times, even myself included, it's no.
We're not. Right.
And so,
right.
But if we're doing that self-check and enforcing that self-boundary, you'll realize I don't even have as much time as I think I have.
To give. Yeah.
And so when you do give, you become naturally more intentional. I mean, even for myself, the way that shifted for me, the time that I share is naturally more intentional to the spaces and places and people who are reciprocating that. The people who aren't, I'm like, let's try next week. No shade.
Right.
But I don't have that space this week.
Right. That is so interesting that you brought that up, because I had a client call this morning at 9 a.m. and I asked her a couple days ago when we had our welcome call to answer the journal question, who am I to myself?
Mm.
And she said she started with, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a friend. And then she goes, hey, wait a second. That's not to myself.
Mm-hmm. That's
how I am for other people. Like, this, it's so interesting how our identities are wrapped up so heavily in how we're received by other people. And I just wonder how we're able to kind of have harmony with, like, yes, this is who I am for others. So for you and I, we're wives, we're friends, we're mothers, we're business owners, all those things, right? But we're not just wives and mothers and friends and people who own businesses. We're also interested, so I'm going to speak for me, I'm also interested in photography, in arts and crafts, in going outside and being and moving my body. Like, there's so many different things, right?
Right.
How do we find that harmony without getting so caught up in who we are for other people and who we are with ourselves? Is there, are they separate or are they not?
It's so interesting. I feel like the redefinition process, because there's this huge societal context of how specifically women,
mm-hmm.
and there's, I don't remember the study, but there was this article I read about how women identify themselves, mother, mom, sister, aunt. Men are like, I'm CEO.
Yep.
I'm, you know,
yep.
and I happen to have a wife and kids.
Happen to, yeah.
Like, and also I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because of our nature to want to belong, because of our nature to want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, I mean, we create, like, literally create life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the redefinition process, taking yourself out of the space of how we give and who we are and how we serve, and looking at what is it that I need, that's that piece of self-boundaries that most people get caught up in
mm-hmm.
and stuck at because it looks and feels selfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's just by definition. It looks and feels selfish because usually we've been taught that caring about yourself more than others is selfish.
Mm.
That definition has been taught to us to keep codependency alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe that taking care of yourself is selfish and you should be taking care of others, you can't be codependent.
Yep.
So that's how I get led right back to, it always leads back to that work, but like the being honest about what it is that you've been taught in those cycles, lineage-based, ancestral-based. I mean, if you're a woman of color, if you're a Black woman of color born in America, giving to yourself is recent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not something
right.
that any woman of color has had the freedom to really do, and we're still learning how to navigate that
right.
for sure.
For sure.
So really being honest with yourself about how hard it is. And taking those small itty-bitty steps. Sometimes it's as small as carving out that space in your career and mm-hmm. being like, this is who, you know, my voice matters at work. What I say, you know, just finding your niche, finding where you feel more comfortable, or even in relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, these are my standards. This is what I believe I deserve. If you don't meet it, then you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to not settle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue, and it's shaped like the flower, and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo tie-dye bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. We were having a chat recently about being wives and being mothers and how our time is so different now and how mm-hmm. we really do have to find the space to pour into ourselves mm-hmm. and to have a moment, which is very interesting because a lot of time we don't get a moment until babies go down or the whole family is asleep or before everyone wakes up, right? So recently I was having a conversation with quite a few of my single friends saying like, I don't understand why I'm single. I'm great. I'm nice. I'm funny. I'm ready to settle down. And I just can't find anyone worth my time.
Right.
So because I've been so far removed from dating, it seems like more and more women that I meet who are single and who want to be in relationship with someone else are saying the same thing.
Yes.
And this woman asked me a question recently and she goes, is it me? Because you hear all the time, you are what you attract. And
that's a very privileged, but go ahead.
And I said, I don't think it's you. Mm-hmm. I think that in these types of situations, sometimes you just haven't met the right person yet. Mm-hmm. And she's like, because when I have met someone, they're either manipulative or it's fine for a little while and then it's not fine. And then I'm looking at myself like, is it me? Like, am I the reason why I'm attracting these? And I'm not a big believer in that.
That's why I said that the law of attraction and all of that is, you know, I don't teach that. I have been taught that. I have studied it. But what I'm saying is, when I say privilege, is, again, I want to bring it back to if you're a person of color, if you're a woman of color, if you're a woman, like, it's very, that whole mind frame is very privileged, that if you just think it will become. Right. There's a lot that goes into making things happen, and most of it is the work. Mm-hmm. The piece that's missing is the work, and it's defined differently for different people. So I would answer that woman's question for sure, as you did. No, it is not you that is attracting this purposely
right
into your life. No right. one is going out saying, how can I find a terrible date?
Right. exactly.
But what I have found, I have a lot of friends who are in the same circumstances. And it often stems from, and this isn't for everyone, but just from what I've seen, is something happens to women specifically. So we're in our 20s and it's the fun phase. Mm-hmm. We're having a good time. We're learning. We're building our career. And that's for some people. Alex and I are different because we were raising kids in our 20s. But for most,
right,
that's the time of growth, career, fun. And then like 28 happens and you realize, oh my God, I'm about to be 30. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows what that means, right? It's time to start figuring out if you want to have kids. It's time to start figuring out blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And what I found for most men, if they get to 28, 30, 29, 30, and they don't have kids, they don't have a wife, they get even more picky. Like, it's like they can become more picky about who they choose and what they choose to do with their lives because they don't have the same time clock, so to speak, that we have, even though that time clock's expanding. For women who are looking to figure out how they can attract what it is that they want in a partner, you do often have to look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that men don't have to do that same thing. They do. But for women specifically, we often, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, have these very specific standards for what we want in a partner. And I always ask my friends this, are you doing this yourself? Like, you want him to work out 7 times a week? Like, no shade.
Right.
But do you work out 7 times a week? Are you cut? Are you ripped? Are you ready for that? He eats protein, you know.
Only
life.
Right.
Or are you about the wine, relaxing? Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking for this partner that has all these things that don't even align with who you really are. And then that goes back to the question of, you know, shit, do I know who I am? Do I know what I want? Or do I have in mind a partner that would match up with what I want people to believe that I believe that I am societally, in my circles, in my life? What does, you know, having a partner mean to you? Does it mean that everything is complete? Or do you realize the amount of work you just signed up with for? Mm-hmm. Because marriage means not only am I taking on my own shit, but now I'm married to your shit and your lineage's shit.
All the stuff. All the shit.
Right.
Literally.
Like,
right.
And it's like, take that work and quadruple it.
Right.
Add the kids. I mean, marriage is beautiful.
Add the bills.
Add the bills. Marriage is beautiful. It's amazing to be partnered. I'm not saying that, you know, that it's not a great thing. But what I am saying is, are you currently living your life in a environment that is spongy and fermenting and like making the proper ground for the type of relationship that you're looking for? Or are you living in a completely different way than who you're looking for? And then you might ask, that's why I keep attracting this kind of person.
That's what I had to do. That is what I had to do. Because prior to meeting Ryan, I was just longing and chasing and like,
I call it that grasping energy.
That's what I was doing. Literally grasping at not even straws. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like those little lint, the little lint things that you just try to pluck off when things start peeling. That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Holding on to old people, old habits, and just hoping that, I can just pluck that little lint that ball off and it'll be fine. And it was never fine.
Nope.
And the year before I met Ryan, I've told the story a couple times, but just like in a nutshell, the year before I met Ryan, I was dating this guy in Richmond, Virginia, and I was driving back and forth to Richmond every other weekend, and I thought we were dating. We weren't. I was dating him. He was not dating me. Mm-hmm. So that was a wake-up call, and I knew that I wanted a husband.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't ready for that. He didn't want to be a stepdad, you know? Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted someone to come drive to see me.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't driving to see me.
And those are the, ladies, these are the flags.
That was my last flag, because I was notorious for chasing and grasping after people who were literally telling me, I don't want you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan was the first person that I was the first man that I became friends with, platonic friends with, before getting into a relationship. Mm-hmm. I did things differently, but to rewind, I also was alone for about a year. No sex. My friend group shifted. I really rooted into Alex. That's where Words from a Wanderer, my first book, came from. Mm-hmm. I was writing love notes and affirmations and poems to myself and about the love that I wanted, because everything else wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I had to get to know who I was, what I was doing. Just like you said, are you the type of person that you'd want to be with, essentially?
Right.
And I wasn't.
Or are you even a match?
Am I even a match?
Because if you're looking for a man that wants to have kids or wants to settle down or wants to do all these things, are you settled?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really,
I was literally not.
It seem like it's simple.
Right. It's not.
Because it's not simple.
Right.
But it becomes very simple to be like, you're not it.
You're not it.
And we sit in this space of, but maybe
he's good enough.
Just a little.
Nice enough.
Mm-hmm. He's having a hard time. She's having a hard time.
Right.
You know, I can, you know, be there for them. I think they're just having a lot of, like, you don't even know this person's middle name. You don't know anything about this person. And we're already settling. Look at that energy in yourselves. Like, I don't know this person, and I'm already willing to lay myself on the ground for them to walk right through to hope. And I talk about that a lot. That hope will get you caught out there.
Every time.
Because you're hoping that they will become someone. This goes back to even the parent the conversation earlier. We're hoping that they'll be someone that they've already showed us they're not. So in the first, you know, 2 weeks of knowing somebody.
We know.
And I say this, you know, I used to say this to my friends too. If he was the opposite sex of whatever it is that you're, you know, looking for or you're dating. So if this was a platonic friend, like for me, this was a girlfriend, I would be like, you know what? No. Why are we so much harder on our friends than the people we're looking to spend the rest of our lives with? Like, you would just throw a friend out the window if she said the wrong thing.
Right.
But he can say, I don't like what you're wearing. Wear something else. And you put something else on. You know, and that's that place of like, why am I willing to allow him to do this for the sake of so-called partnership? And that's where that self-work comes in, those boundaries, that love, and all of that.
I mean, it's big, and I don't think... So I read something recently on Instagram that somebody wrote, you don't have to love yourself to love someone else. That shocked me. And it shocked me because... It shocked me because that's not my work. Maybe for somebody else that is their work, but I don't understand that concept. And for me personally, I had to get into relationship with myself before I could be a good friend, before I could be a partner, and to be a better mother.
That was the first thing. When I read it, I said, okay, I didn't fully understand what loving myself was at 24 when I became a mother. And I loved my daughter. Check.
Right.
But once I learned how to love myself, oh my God, the love is completely different. I didn't have the capacity to really hold the type of space that I can hold for her or anyone now that I had when I didn't believe in my worth at all or love myself at all. So again, you know, for me, I understand that for some people, you know, when you're in that work, you do have people in your life that you love and care about on the road to learning to love yourself. And right. I completely feel like that's okay. But staying in that space, very codependent for me, it can get us caught in that space of, I love him, even though I don't love me. And so he fills me up.
That's it. I mean, that with parents, with friendships, with a job. I don't really love myself, but this job is paying me six figures. This job is good enough, and that's my worth.
That's my worth, and you associate it with those external things. And I actually just talked about this on a post. You know, that external validation. Sometimes in this work, we forget how important external validation is. That's the reason we're settling in these relationships with these people that do not meet our needs and our red flag and all over the place, because somewhere along the line, we did not receive the external validation that, you know, as a mom, humans need to hear from the outside. You're doing great.
Right.
I'm here for you. And so if you don't get that, of course, you don't know how to give it to yourself. And of course, if somebody's saying it, you're like, you got me. You know, this is the first time I felt this.
That was me.
Right.
I didn't hear many good things growing up. So I was always searching for somebody to validate me. So a lot of my work has come from dispelling the need to feel seen by being validated by somebody else.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
program.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today.
I think it's a little bit different when we're talking about parent-child because we're rearing the next generation and we want them to feel abundant and we are who they're looking for to get back up again, you know, and to validate. So in that sense, I'm right there with you. But I think it gets dangerous when we don't, when the child, for instance, doesn't shift to start trusting their own self. So for instance, with my oldest daughter, I validated her a lot and I still do, but she can validate herself because there have been moments where she's fallen down and I'll look at her and she'll look at me and she'll get back up, brush herself off and say, I'm okay. And that's because I taught her that. I taught her you can fall down and you can get back up. Right. So as adults, and when we switch to wanting validation from other people, be it at work, you know, we count on validation for promotions sometimes. We count on our partner to tell us that we're doing a good job, to feel like we're doing a good job. Where is that happy medium of, yes, that's that validation is a bonus, but it's not my, it's not my worth.
Right. And it's like, this external validation feels great, and I do want this in my life, like for a partner, for example, or even for your business. Like I want you to tell me that you like what I'm putting out. I want you to tell me that, you know, I want you to remember our anniversary. You know, those things matter.
Right.
But also, I am not worthless if you don't.
That part.
And that's the difference of, like, you know, if you forget our anniversary, you know, that's a shitty thing. And I still love myself. I'm still worthy. And we just got to have this tough conversation. But it's the association, that grasping energy, especially when it comes to dating, that comes from that. For me, you know, not having that growing up or not having that throughout your adult life, whenever it shifted and looking for it in that partner, you are literally looking for somebody to fill you up. And so when you, and by the way, that's scary.
Yeah.
Like, relationships are 100%, 100%. So if I'm 100% and I see that you might be around 60 and you want 40% of me, I'm not calling you back. And it's unfortunate and it's harsh to hear. But, you know, a lot of times when you have that person that's grasping for you, the other person who's being grasped at can feel that energy, and it's not always a match. And if it is a match... get ready for some cyclical stuff in that relationship, because they're gonna be counting on you not being filled in order to feel validated.
Mm. What are some tips that you would give folks who are wanting to be in relationship with other people, also wanting to do their work and stand in their worth while being a nurturer and a giver, but still having enough wherewithal to be filled on their own?
So first, I want you to, like, pen and paper or voice notes, something that you can listen back to, tangible.
Mm-hmm.
List out the relationships that you already have of people in your life that when you're feeling down, I'm talking when you're at your worst, that you can call and they actually hear you and see you. If you, unfortunately, because I was there at a time in my life, don't have any of those relationships, then the overgiving nurturer carer needs to retire for a moment, like needs to get put on the shelf, and you have to start giving it to yourself, because the first step is assessing how much of me am I giving away and not getting anything in return. Let's say you're in a non-for-profit work, or you do something for a living where you give or you care, or, you know, I get it. That's an exchange. That's different because you're getting paid for that work or you're getting hours for college for that work. See, the exchange means not that it has to be tit for tat, but that there is some capacity for you to also, if someone is calling you constantly and you're on the phone for 2 hours with them, walking them through an issue, and then when you call them, they're like, man, that's really tough. I don't know. Every single time, you really have to be honest with yourself. So by doing that, you begin to give yourself back some spaciousness and energy to begin to cultivate these relationships. And that's the next thing that I would look at. How can I begin to get into spaces and places like self-care sessions? Like, there's so many women of color and women in general out here creating these little spaces where women can show up, and that those women are showing up to cultivate relationships, to do their work, to meet people in that same line of work as them, which is, you know, I want to be with people who are also looking at how they can live in alignment with what matters to them, not just take or not just give. And I think that's important. I think the important piece that a lot of us miss, just to drive this home, is that sometimes it does take investing in yourself in a different way, in a new way, and getting uncomfortable with it, even if the investment means I'm not answering my phone after 8. It's hard and it's scary because we're afraid we're going to lose people, the only people we feel like we have. But when we become honest with ourselves and see that we have them, but it's not in a way that is serving us fully, it doesn't mean the relationship has to end.
Right.
It just means the boundary needs to change.
Right.
Then we'll begin to have the spaciousness to be able to call in those relationships. A lot of us are looking for relationships, especially partnerships. We don't have any space.
Mm.
We truly don't have any space. So instead of being with our friends and our family all the time, then we just go ghost on our families and friends, and we're just with this man now.
Right.
The friends and family are gone. Now I'm just with the man, because you don't even have any space for yourself.
Mm.
And so I feel like that's really important. And to your point, I did a very similar thing. I was alone for a minute and had a lot of fun just figuring out what it was that I wanted, and had a lot of hard times. It wasn't always fun.
Right.
Let me be honest.
It's hard.
Sometimes
it's lonely.
It was really hard. It was very lonely.
I mean, there was some definite, like, high moments where it's like, damn, girl, like, you got this, you know, and you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're worthy of this, and really, truly meaning it. But then when that hard stuff came up,
it was like, you know what?
Why?
Why am I doing this? And what is the point?
Mm. But the point always rears its head.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you stick through it quick. It's quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yep.
And of course, we have those ones that are like lifelong ones.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out in the end. But it's quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yeah. So interesting that you were talking about the relationships, because something that stands out to me about you still is we kept trying to spend time with one another.
Mm.
I had just had Isla. You were still pregnant with Yara. And my time was stretched thin, and I think you were still kind of in your nesting. And I remember I came to your house to drop something off, and I had to go. And I think you might have either said to me in text or in person, like, hey, next time, I would love if we could, like, really make time because I want to sit and talk with you. Because it might have been, like, two times that I had to just come and go. And you were like, well, I want to, like, hang out, and I need that. And I remember thinking, wow, like, and it checked me, you know, to take a step back and, yes, I have this newborn, but also I have, like, an hour, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, it made me just think about how I want community to show up in my life. And I think ever since then, you and I have been, like, really just clear with our communication and our capacities to hold space for each other. And those are the types of relationships that I have been wanting, right? And I have a couple of close friends who I can have those interactions with, like, hey, but I need and I want. Mm-hmm. But it took years. So last year when I started getting closer with you and I met a couple other new mom friends and just new women on a very similar walk, I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I'll be 30 this year. I was 29. I am 29, but, you know, I had just turned 29 and thinking, like, this is what I've been waiting for. And it took a long time, but it was really worth the wait to be around people who can hold space and who can make me think about how I'm holding space and how I'm showing up, which is really important as well.
And just it takes a long time to be confident, to ask for what you need. Yeah. And then it also takes a long time to have the intuition and discernment of who you can ask that from. Mm. So, you know, we had already built a relationship where I knew I could do that with other people. And that's where it comes in, that self-boundary, that self-checking. It could have gone another place. Mm-hmm. Because it does, not everyone has the capacity to look at it and say, I do have an hour. Mm. Some people will look at it and say, girl, I am raising a newborn. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To people listening and saying, I've done that before and it backfired. Like, it may have been it may have been just timing. And also, they may not have the capacity to hear you. And you can create that and cultivate that and look for that. And for me, too, looking for that in my walk and in my life, because we are still so young, I'm kind of getting towards the knot.
No, you're still young.
But, you know... So young. A lot of people, most of my friends are still single, don't have kids.
That's a whole nother.
So it's just, you know, having that, still having those friends and having those connections, but then also having the people who can really relate to, especially this newborn, you know, she's not newborn anymore, but this infant life.
It makes me sad.
I know.
She'll be 1 year old on the 24th of January.
Yes.
But no, I feel you. And we've had those conversations as well, like, being wives and being mothers and how that can feel really isolating.
It's so interesting because everyone's looking at you like you have a partner. You have what I'm looking for. And I'm like, you have a room full of women that just showed up to your birthday dinner and we're having Chick-fil-A for my birthday dinner. It's definitely like that.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on where you are in the space. Mm. It's really important to, like, look at people and be like, I don't really know the whole story. Like, I don't know the whole story. Like, even though you're vacationing and you're doing this and you're doing that and it looks fabulous, at night, you know, I don't know what that's like anymore.
Right.
And vice versa.
Right.
You know, even though it looks like this and this and that, you know, I was up at 4:30 in the morning last night until 6 a.m. because my infant was up and kicking it. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Right.
So it's just, it is very isolating to speak from the perspective of where I am right now sometimes because, you know, you're out on the island. And that's why it's good to have those connections and those relationships, like, where sometimes I'm like, Alex, I'm just coming over.
Right.
At least we could be on the island together for the next few hours.
Right. On the island together. That matters. So I think just to wrap up our conversation, I would love for you to just give some encouragement to those people who are doing their work and it feels really hard and they feel like, what am I doing? Like, what is my work? Because that's a big part of stepping into this evolution is like, what is my work? And then how do I do it?
Right.
What would you say to those folks who are in limbo, but also like really ready to start pouring into self so that everything else can fall into place? And not in a way that's perfect, but in a way that makes sense for their life and how they're moving through the world.
Yeah. So the first part is, it doesn't matter what age you are, because I mean, I know that's easier to say for someone who, you know, is younger. But if you're 25 or if you're 45 and you're just starting this work, you're starting at the time that you're ready to start. That's the first thing. You're still going to get hit with the shit on the way down.
Right.
So we're all getting it. There's no winning. I want to say that. There's also no right way to do it. And in terms of how do I start this work, for me, and I think for Alex, it was writing and just being hit with experiences very young in our life that forced us, mostly for both of us, motherhood, forced us to have to look at ourselves and the way that we want to show up with our daughters,
right?
That we couldn't show up with in the way that we were, you know, currently wired, so to speak.
Right.
And so what's brought you here? Like, what brought you to the place where, you know, you're looking at the words that you're looking at on social media, you're reading the books that you're reading? What is the thing that's got you at this space? And really begin to explore that. And I know for a lot of people have reached out to me and said writing is very triggering for them. And it's because you can't lie when you see what you see. And that's why I say to use writing or voice notes. Because sometimes when we talk, I mean, I've talked to people and I hear them talk themselves out of what they just told me within an hour. But once you write it, it's there. So if you can't write and it's very triggering for you, voice notes is amazing. And allows you to just get it all out. You don't even have to listen to it until you're ready. But having that release is important to be able to make that space. And then from that place, begin to cultivate relationships. Even if it's on social media, you guys would be shocked how many people meet on social media. Cultivate relationships with people who are also doing the same things. Even if it's just your social media friend and they're like, yes, girl, you know, under comments or whatever. Because having that validation, when you're moving from one place in your life to the other place in your life, chances are the people in your life are your past, so to speak.
That's big.
Like, you're in the present, but they're your past. You're probably trying to get people to come with you and they don't want to.
And they're not ready.
Or it's not for them this lifetime. Who knows, right? So now you're out there alone. And the only thing I can say about that is sometimes it is lonely for a moment until you can begin to create those relationships and trust yourself enough to put yourself out there to create those relationships with people who are interested in living their lives similarly or in alignment or have the capacity to be in the same way that you want to, the circles that you want to be in. And it will shift and it will change and they will show up. I know it doesn't feel like they will, but they will. But you do have to put yourself out there and get uncomfortable for that to take place. It's not going to magically happen by just saying, man, I want to have a different year this year. That's my intention. Okay. And then the work comes and putting yourself out there.
Thank you. I think that's a good way to end. Before we go, please tell everybody what you have going on, your courses that are live right now, where they can find you on social media and how they can connect with you if they want to work with you.
So you can connect with me on Instagram at Yasmine, YASMINECHEYENNE, Yasmine Cheyenne, and the same, YasmineCheyenne.com. I have many workbooks, I have writing practices and courses under the Work With Me tab on my website.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off
by Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.